This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa. JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief over at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 73 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. I started doing fantasy writing and analysis back in 2011, so at this point, I can at least say that I've been doing this for at least a decent amount of time. And even though I feel like I and other analysts say this every single year, I think it's completely true. The 2017 season has been unlike any other. And I think the big reason for this is just flat out quarterback play. I won't dig into the numbers until the season's over to see just how different this year was compared to previous ones as it pertains to passing, but I don't ever remember experiencing so much bad quarterback play and so many injuries to the quarterback position. I mean, we saw Aaron Rodgers go down, and that's torpedoed the entire Packers offense, and then Deshaun Watson goes down, and that derails all the good things that were happening with those wide receivers in Houston. Larry Fitzgerald and John Brown lost Carson Palmer. Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen have Case Keenum throwing them the ball. Andrew Luck isn't coming back. I mean, the list goes on and on. To be honest, though, as bad as this season's been, these crappy quarterback situations should help us moving forward. Because when we draft and manage our fantasy squads in the future, we'll know just how big of an impact quarterback play has. If you didn't know prior to this season, now you definitely know. Quarterback play isn't just important for that quarterback. It's important for the quarterback's wide receivers, their running backs, and everything else within the offense. As a result, though, this season, we've basically narrowed down the pool of usable fantasy assets to like half the teams in the NFL. And to be honest with you guys, it's made doing my start-sit articles and podcasts each week even that much more difficult. But hopefully they're still helping you with your own start-sit process. That's the goal in doing these, to be honest with you. Of course, I want to be right and give you the right picks, but I also want you to feel empowered to go through a process and finding which players to start and sit as well. That's just as important. Before we get into this week's starts and sits, though, I wanted to let you know that Daniel Miracle Man Jacobs returns to headline HBO World Championship Boxing in an explosive middleweight showdown against undefeated Luis Arias. It's going down live Saturday, November 11th at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on HBO. Now let's dig in. So at quarterback this week, I love me some Jared Goff going up against the Houston Texans. Goff hasn't been the most consistent fantasy asset this season. He's ranked 22nd or worse in three of his eight games in 2017. But I would be shocked if he finishes that low this week. He's facing a Houston secondary that's just middle of the road according to our schedule-adjusted metrics over at NumberFire, but that's also skewed a bit by a decent start to the season. Through weeks 1 through 4, the Texans allowed just one quarterback to score more than 16 fantasy points, and that one quarterback was Tom Brady. They held Andy Dalton, Blake Bortles, and Marcus Mariota to QB2 or worse performances. But over the team's last four games, we've seen Alex Smith score nearly 27 fantasy points against them, Russell Wilson went absolutely ham against them and scored 35 points, and just last week, Jacoby Brissett, one of the top streamers, scores almost 20 fantasy points. According to AirYards.com, the Texans have been one of the friendliest teams in football when it comes to surrendering air yards to opposing passers. That's very important. And with the Rams at home with the highest implied Vegas total of the week, Jared Goff makes for a fantastic play. I also like Josh McCown this week, who's probably old enough to be Jared Goff's dad. As I noted in the 15 Transactions podcast earlier in the week, so far this season, Josh McCown has ranked as a high-end QB2 in points per game at the position. He's averaging more fantasy points per contest than Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, and Marcus Mariota. And it's week 10 now, guys. This isn't like week 3. Can we just say that Josh McCown is pretty legitimate? And this week's matchup against Tampa Bay is great. Only Oakland and Indianapolis have worse secondaries than Tampa Bay, according to NumberFire's metrics, and the Bucs have been especially bad of late, allowing a top 10 quarterback performance, so about 19 or more fantasy points, in three of their last four games. I'm loving Josh McCown against Tampa Bay. I also like Matt Ryan against Dallas in a game that should see a lot of scoring. And Ben Roethlisberger against Indianapolis, an awful secondary as well, I don't mind him either. On the flip side of things, I'm not really into Kirk Cousins against Minnesota in Week 10. He's ranked as a top 10 passer in weekly scoring four times this year in eight games. That's not terrible, but each of those games came against teams that rank in the bottom half of the league in fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. In tough matchups, like last week against Seattle, Kirk Cousins has not really come through. And he doesn't have exactly an easy matchup this week against Minnesota. Minnesota, at the very least, is a top half secondary. And given all the woes in the offensive line, the pass catchers in that offense, I just don't know how you can confidently play Kirk Cousins over some other options this week. Marcus Mariota is another guy that I don't have a ton of confidence in. I will say this, a huge reason for Marcus Mariota's down fantasy season, aside from the injury, has been his low touchdown rate. Heading into his third season this year, Mariota had never seen a campaign with a touchdown rate below 5.1%. This year, guys, his touchdown rate is 2.9%. Among the 33 passers with 100 or more attempts this year, that's the sixth worst touchdown rate. Coming into the season, Marcus Mariota was known for his efficiency. He was known for being very efficient at scoring touchdowns. That number tells me that he should eventually bounce back, though. That's just touchdown regression. But I'm not optimistic that that bounce back is going to happen this week against Cincinnati. Or at least, I don't think Marcus Mariota has an insane ceiling. Only Aaron Rodgers this year, pour some out, has been able to reach 18 fantasy points against Cincinnati. And they've also allowed the third fewest air yards in the league, which is another bad sign for Marcus Mariota. But like I said, I think Marcus Mariota is a decent stash moving forward. His touchdown rate should progress. And he has some really nice matchups after this week. Other quarterbacks that I would not be playing, Phillip Rivers against Jacksonville, give me that big nah wave. And Blake Bortles against Los Angeles, not about that life either. At running back this week, I'm really into Orleans Darkwa. If you recall, Darkwa missed a week 4 game against the Buccaneers, but since returning in week 5, he's averaged 13.5 rushes, 73 rushing yards, and 2.5 targets per game. And he's been out snapping every other Giants running back over this time. And over the last 3 weeks, Darkwa has seen over 61% of the Giants rushing attempts. That's the 10th best share among running backs playing in week 10. So if we assume that he's going to see this workload, that's great against a terrible San Francisco defense. In 9 games this year, San Francisco has allowed 7 top 13 performances in PPR leagues to running backs, and they've now surrendered more rushing yards than any other team in football. Now, it's true that some of that has to do with game script. The 49ers are bad, so opposing teams are leading, and when opposing teams are leading, they're going to run the ball a lot. But that's also part of the allure here. The Giants are actually 2.5-point road favorites, and the Giants are not very good at football. We don't see these circumstances for Orleans Darkwa very often. The game is unlikely to get out of hand to the point where we would see more Shane Vereen in that backfield instead of Orleans Darkwa. And all of this makes Darkwa a very strong play here in Week 10. I also really like Matt Forte this week going up against Tampa Bay. He was banged up earlier in the season, but over his last 4 games, he's seen 8, 5, 7, and 4 targets while toting the rock 9, 7, 4, and 14 times. Over this stretch, he's played as many or more snaps than any other Jets back in that backfield. And Tampa Bay is not good. Tampa Bay is a mess both offensively and defensively. They've allowed 25-plus PPR points to 3 running backs over their last 4 games. So given Matt Forte's usage right now, I think he's in a great spot. A deeper play this week is Marlon Mack, who's going to be facing Pittsburgh. You know, the fear that I have as both a Steeler fan and an analyst is that the Steelers are just going to play to their competition, because that's what they've done under Mike Tomlin. That is what they do under Mike Tomlin. But logic tells us that things could get out of hand and that the Steelers should win this game pretty handily. That means the Colts could be in a negative game script, and that would benefit Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack has played 41% or more of the team snaps in each game since Robert Turbin's season-ending injury in Week 6. And over this time, Indianapolis has lost 2 of their 3 games, or they've seen negative game scripts. And in those contests, Mack has combined for 16 carries and 11 targets. So you're looking at 8 carries and 5.5 targets through the air. This is all because he sees the field more in those not great for Indianapolis situations. When Indianapolis is trailing, Marlon Mack is going to be on the field. He's a superior pass-catching threat to Frank Gore. I mean, to be honest, he's a superior runner, too. So if this game goes as planned, he should see a lot of snaps. And if he's on the field for a lot of snaps, there's the potential for a lot of volume. A couple other running backs that I like this week, Jerick McKinnon at Washington, and as a very, very deep, kind of dart-throw play, Devontae Booker against New England. He's seeing more and more snaps, and if New England does get the lead, he might see the field. One running back to sit this week is Ameer Abdullah against Cleveland. A lot of you might be looking at Ameer Abdullah and you see his matchup and you say, oh, I have to start Ameer Abdullah. He's facing the Cleveland Browns. But there's a lot of reasons why I don't like Ameer Abdullah this week. He had ball security issues on Monday night against the Packers, and that should be alarming because of his potential at the goal line moving forward. And it's not like goal line touches have really been there for Amir Abdullah this season anyway. He has just as many goal line touches as teammate Dwayne Washington. And this matchup is not a cakewalk. The Cleveland Browns rush defense is not bad. Sure, you're going to see the potential for a positive game flow situation. That's great for running backs. But Cleveland's actually allowing the lowest yards per carry average in the entire NFL. The only running backs who have really done anything in fantasy against Cleveland this year have done so because they've done something through the air. No running back has rushed for more than 66 yards against the Cleveland Browns, and Cleveland's only allowed 3 rushing touchdowns. So that matchup, combined with the fact that he might not see goal line touches anymore because of the fumbling issues, makes me want to avoid Amir Abdullah this week. Another running back to avoid, and this might be obvious, but it's Rob Kelly. Playing Rob Kelly is just saying, hey, I hope my running back finds the end zone. Because over his last 4 games, and now, granted, they haven't been the easiest matchups in the world, Rob Kelly has 36 carries for just 76 rushing yards. Now, that's not all his fault. They've had a lot of offensive line issues, but it's still very disappointing. The only reason why he's done anything in fantasy is because he's found the end zone 3 times over his last 2 games. But that still yielded a grand total of 21.7 PPR points. In other words, he's only scored 3.7 PPR points in 2 games when you get rid of those touchdowns. No thank you. Since I like Marlon Mack this week, I naturally don't really like Frank Gore. And then another running back that you might want to sit is Deion Lewis in a tough matchup against Denver. Moving to wide receiver, the first guy I want to talk about as a start is Sterling Shepard, who's going up against San Francisco. Sterling Shepard has a decent slot matchup there against the 49ers, but this has just as much to do with the potential volume in this matchup. With no receivers for the Giants, Shepard saw 9 targets last week. And while yes, that game was one where New York was trailing, this one against San Francisco features 2 teams who play at top 10 situation neutral paces. They play fast. When the game is close, they're still playing fast. And that could lead to more plays and in turn, more love for the Giants' top wide receiving threat. I also like Cooper Kupp a lot against Houston. I already talked up Jared Goff. I love Jared Goff this week. I think Cooper Kupp is the wide receiver that could be the beneficiary of his performance. No player in football has more red zone targets than Cooper Kupp this season. Now that's only translated to just 3 red zone touchdowns, but Kupp owners should feel a little bit comfort knowing that Jared Goff is looking his way close to the end zone. And Cooper Kupp has a great slot matchup this week against Houston's Kareem Jackson, who, according to Pro Football Focus, has allowed more receiving yards from the slot than all but 2 corners this year. And to just reiterate, the Rams have the highest implied team total of the week. Cooper Kupp is a very good play. Another wide receiver that I like, but it's more of a deeper play, is Chris Godwin, who's going up against the Jets. Mike Evans is officially suspended, which means Chris Godwin should see more snaps. I'm expecting Chris Godwin to see a lot of snaps against the Jets. If you don't know who Chris Godwin is, he came out of Penn State this past year. He's a rookie wide receiver. He had really strong measurables, and he had a pretty good production profile as well. He's someone that my model liked a pretty good bit. And this matchup is really nice. He's facing the Jets. They're a bottom half secondary according to NumberFire's metrics, and they've allowed the 9th most fantasy points to the wide receiver position this year. And they've also allowed the 4th most air yards to opposing offenses. I know that Jameis Winston isn't starting, but the matchup is there. Chris Godwin should play a lot of snaps. I think that he's a decent deep play this week. A couple of other wide receivers I don't mind, Robbie Anderson against Tampa Bay and Devin Funchess against Miami. On the sit side, I'm not that into T.Y. Hilton against Pittsburgh. As I mentioned in the 15 Transactions show earlier this week, T.Y. Hilton has had 3 big games this year, but all of those games have come against bottom-tiered secondaries. Cleveland, San Francisco, and Houston. In every other game, he's averaged just a little over 28 yards per contest. And he's going to get Pittsburgh this week, who have allowed the 2nd fewest points per game to opposing wide receivers this season. Now the hope is that T.Y. Hilton can break a big play. Bottom line. And that's certainly possible. The Steelers have allowed 21 15 plus yard throws against them this season, which is a top half number in the league. But my goodness, guys, starting T.Y. Hilton comes with so much variance. I also don't like Kelvin Benjamin against New Orleans. I know that the matchup might look decent enough on paper because it's the Saints, but both outside corners for the Saints have been pretty good this year. Regardless of who he sees, Ken Crawley or Marshawn Lattimore, it doesn't matter. Since week 1, only Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, and Chris Hogan have posted better than wide receiver 20 performances against the Saints. And Golden Tate and Chris Hogan did the majority of their work from the slot. The perimeter, where Kelvin Benjamin will be, has been a tough matchup for opposing wideouts. And with Kelvin Benjamin still figuring things out in this new offense, he makes for a really uneasy start. Other wide receivers that I would sit this week, I'm not in love with Will Fuller, and Josh Doctson against Minnesota, not a great play. At tight end, I like Kyle Rudolph against Washington. Washington at cornerback has had pretty good perimeter play this season. They've actually allowed the 6th fewest fantasy points to wide receivers as a result of that. But tight ends have found success. Washington's allowing the 4th most receptions per game to the tight end position. And tight ends are scoring more fantasy points on them than all but 3 teams. And Kyle Rudolph himself has been more involved in this team's offense over the last 4 games. During weeks 1 through 4, he was averaging just 3.75 targets and about 25 routes run, according to Pro Football Focus, per game. Since then, those numbers have risen to 8 targets per game and 30.5 routes run per game. If you want to dig a little bit deeper at the tight end position, Garrett Celek is not a bad play off the waiver wire. The bottom line is the Giants are horrendous at defending the tight end position. They've given up a tight end touchdown in every single game this year. Every single game they've given up a tight end touchdown. And Garrett Celek is going to be the starting tight end for San Francisco this week. George Kittle has an ankle injury. He's out. Garrett Celek is the dude. He's somewhat of a dart throw, but hey, the matchup is there. A couple of other tight ends that I don't mind. Jesse James is a deeper play against Indianapolis. And Evan Ingram, even though San Francisco is decent at defending the tight end, even though they haven't given up that many fantasy points to the position, Evan Ingram is so involved in this offense that he's basically a week in and week out start. Now, because the tight end position is such a disaster, I only have one sit at the position. And that sit, I don't even feel that comfortable with. But it's Jason Witten against Atlanta. We've seen a very inconsistent Jason Witten all season long. The only 3 fantasy relevant performances that Jason Witten has had came against the Giants, Broncos, and 49ers. New York and Denver have been dreadful at defending the tight end. And Dallas just destroyed San Francisco. Witten was bound to be involved in a game where Dallas went nuts. This game against Atlanta might look decent on paper, but the Falcons have actually been alright against opposing tight ends, surrendering the 3rd fewest points to the position. Now, if Dez Bryant is out, he didn't practice on Wednesday, I wouldn't sit Jason Witten. He'll naturally have to be involved in some way. But if Dez Bryant is in, I think that Witten may not be all that reliable. At defense, I'm pretty in love with the Chicago Bears going up against Green Bay. At the beginning of the season, I never thought that I would say that. But Green Bay also doesn't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. And this Chicago defense has been one of the most under-the-radar units in all of football this season. According to NumberFire's schedule-adjusted metrics, the group ranks as the 6th best defense in the entire NFL. This week, they're at home as 5.5-point favorites against a Packers offense that looked completely lost on Monday night against Detroit. Don't be afraid to fire up Chicago. I also like Detroit against Cleveland for obvious reasons, and I don't mind the Giants against San Francisco. I mentioned it earlier this week on the 15 Transaction Show, but CJ Beathard is giving up a ton of sacks since he became the starter. On the sit side, I don't like the Houston Texans at all against the Rams. No team has been worse for opposing defenses in fantasy football than the Rams have this year. Seriously, only Seattle has posted a weekly defensive scoring ranking better than 17 against the Rams. And like I've been saying, the Texans secondary has not been playing very well. So naturally, if I like Jared Goff, if I like Cooper Kupp, I'm not into the Houston Texans defense. I think this is a second week in a row where you can bench the Denver defense as well as they're going up against New England. And I also don't really like the Buffalo defense going up against New Orleans. That's it for the starts and sits though, everyone. Thanks again for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to this show, do so by going to iTunes, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Google Play, and Stitcher. Also, don't forget to follow me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. I'll talk to you tomorrow with the weekly mailbag episode.